This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, SB Nation AM rolling along. Ron, I got a question for you. Are you interested as a sort of a journalistic thing, not as a fan, not as entertainment, but just as a guy that might want to keep up with what's trending? Are you interested at all in what Terrell Owens is going to say at his August 4th speech at Chattanooga for the Hall of Fame?
I'm interested, but not watching it live interested.
So you're interested in maybe some sound bites?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not.
Are you hoping
in.
He says something crazy, or are you just thinking he's going to keep it straight and even keel?
He's already gone overboard, so I know for a fact it's going to be a letdown. He's just going to. It's going to give that normal Oscar accepting speech, thanking everybody, and then that's it. I would love it if he went crazy and then started crying, and then just in the middle of it all, sit ups.
Right. That's what he should do. He should play his greatest hits. Like, he should break out a Sharpie. He should do the sit ups. He should cry.
Then run,
he should pull out his greatest
then
hits.
Run away and plant a ball on a star.
That's right. Right. He should run around and find a star somewhere and plant a ball. That's a good one. Yeah. He should make his greatest hits. The reason I bring this up is because Jerry Jones, in a conversation, had said that he felt Terrell Owens made a mistake. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I think people especially who are in the Hall of Fame and had that experience of going to Canton and being inducted in the Hall of Fame. Jerry Jones said it was one of the greatest experiences ever happened to him when he was inducted last year. But he said he thinks Terrell Owens is making a mistake. And Owens quickly goes, Jerry made a mistake by releasing me after listening to others when I produced, gave my all, sacrificed my health for the team. But who am I? Boy, it just sounds like he's really bitter and can't let stuff go. And I'm wondering if that's going to bleed into his speech on August 4th. Because I can't imagine it won't. We'll see. We're about a week away from that, and then see how that goes down. I thought it was childish on both sides. I'm now leaning towards the Hall of Fame committee, just going, yeah, we'll not even mention you. You do your own thing. You get your coat in the mail. 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Also on Twitter, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We are SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals. They'll help you find the parts you need to get the job done right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get back on the road fast. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. All right, so Ron, I was perusing The Ringer, the website The Ringer, and I found a great article by Roger Sherman that I wanted to kind of share with you. Because we talked about this a couple of days ago, and in the next hour, Dave Preston from WTOP in Washington is going to join us. Dwight Howard is now a wizard, and this article describes why Dwight Howard is so hated, not only by fans, but by pretty much everybody in the league. And I wanted to run down some of the highlights. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Because here's a potpourri of highlights from Howard's career that makes him one of the most disliked players in basketball. Again, this is not just from a fan base. This is from his own, the players and teammates. So when he was with the Orlando Magic, he famously interrupted a Stan Gundy interview in which the head coach was stunningly honest about how Howard wanted him fired. Dwight hugged Stan Van Gundy and denied what Van Gundy said to the media. And then after Van Gundy was canned, Howard demanded the trade anyway, making a point to say that Orlando's players were guys nobody wanted. When he was with the Lakers, and I think this is a time you probably remember, he paired up with Kobe Bryant, who absolutely hated Dwight Howard pretty much from the second he got there, saying that Dwight Howard was uncomfortable with people around him who were trying to actually win, but Dwight chose to leave in free agency after being traded to Los Angeles because the days weren't fun. Remember, we talked about Kobe saying, I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to beg you to stay here. You want to stay, stay. If you don't, you don't. In Houston, he ran into problems with James Harden that were really, really bad. Harden actually told Rockets management to bench him in favor of Clint Capella. He joined the Atlanta Hawks in what was supposed to be a homecoming of sorts because he's from Atlanta, and that didn't go well either. He didn't give any effort to playing for the Hawks. The crowd turned against him. He wore out his welcome in a few months. Players cheered when he got traded. Dennis Schroeder of the Hawks, who now plays for Oklahoma City, said he only played hard 4 games out of the year. Finally, he was playing with the Hornets. Brandon Hayward, an NBA veteran turned analyst, said that the locker room just simply didn't like him. They grew sick and tired of his act. He got traded after 1 season, and it just has not been good ever since. This guy burns locker rooms everywhere he goes, but the one thing that people say is that joke that he made where he was talking about, I flew like a hawk and I got stung by a hornet. And he does that all the time, and it got annoying. And that's Dwight Howard, is that he's annoying. He's trying to play a style of basketball that doesn't exist in today's NBA anymore, and they don't like his act. Oh, and the other thing about him, I bet I didn't know this. I don't know how many people knew this. He collects snakes.
Yeah, I knew that.
He has 20 snakes. I did not know that.
Yeah, he was featured on a TV show on Animal Planet called Tanked.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, they built a tank for his snakes.
Now, what does Tank normally do?
Fish.
Aquariums?
Fish tanks, yeah.
They're the largest
aquarium builders in the world.
Okay, so... Hold on. I think I know who you're talking about. They're the people that are like, I want an aquarium by my swimming pool that's 30 feet long, and they build it for them.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they do usually do it for businesses, and if they do it for houses, they do it for high-end celebrities. Like, they did a shark tank for Tracy Morgan, and then Tracy Morgan invited him back to do a tank for his
octopus. Whoa, rewind that. He did a shark tank?
Oh, yeah. Tracy Morgan's really into fish.
Is it legal to have a shark in a tank?
Oh, yeah. You can have sharks.
You can?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I mean, a lot of times they'll give you like a little sand shark, nurse shark. If you're going to go
I'm not talking a great white, but I was talking a little, good-sized shark.
Yeah, you're not getting
what's
a great
the,
white.
You
what's
get the point
black
of having
tip
a
reef shark or a white
okay,
tip reef shark.
You want a shark. If you're going to get a shark, you want a shark, right?
Yeah, you can get a black tip reef or a white tip.
Okay, what if I wanted to build a lair in a volcano, and I wanted to have a shark pool where I could push a button and send people down a chute into the shark pit.
With laser beams. They could build it for you.
Could they build that for you? Just like the guy in the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Stromberg. Where he had that girl and he's like, you betrayed me. Boom. She went
into
the shark
pit. And they could get sharks for you.
And sharks
for you. Like mutated bass.
The first one.
We couldn't get sharks. We got mutated bass.
So what kind of snakes were is he? I mean, does he have like big snakes?
Yeah, he has huge boa constrictors. I mean, the tank that they were building, I believe his boa, it was a male and a female called Mickey and Minnie. He's very original with his names.
All right.
I think they were at least 14, 15 feet long.
My question, if Dwight Howard has 20 snakes, who's in charge of feeding them and what do they eat?
Well, he might.
Does he have to go out and get do you get that? Again, I'm showing my naivete here, so bear with me.
If you have the money that he has, you just go to the pet store, get a big box of mice, and then go and, spread it around. I mean, snakes only eat like maybe once, twice a week.
If you're
someone like me where, money becomes an issue and I don't want to just go out and buy like a $3 mouse that's going to really just be another thing's food, then you have to almost raise mice. And I can tell you this too. I had a friend who, he was breeding snakes. He was a weird cat. But he was breeding snakes and he had them in his apartment, in his closet. That apartment stunk. It is a god awful smell to have that many snakes.
Yeah, I'm thinking he has 20. Now he obviously has a big enough house. He could put them in a section.
He could probably air it out a little bit. But I mean, still, it really stinks. And it's not so much the snakes, but it's also the mice. Because if you buy mice in bulk, you get a better deal.
Now every time I've gone to like a zoo, and they've had a reptile exhibit in the zoo. I always notice that the room is a little warmer than what the temperature is outside. Like I walk in, it's not, it's, you never, you know, how you walk into exhibits and you get some of that cool air conditioning. Every time I walk into like an insect or snake exhibit, it's always a little warmer. So does he have to keep that with 20 snakes? Is it, did they demand a little bit warmer temperature?
I'd
so he's
got to
keep that part
so.
Of his house warm? I was thinking, yeah,
I imagine,
right?
I mean, because you can put a bunch of heat lamps in there, but snakes don't like cold, freezing temperatures. They need it humid. Hot and
See,
humid.
The cool thing is, you have snakes, is that if you run the electricity bill because you have the heat lamps on all the time, then the authorities come to your house and go, hey, we notice your electricity bill is way out of whack. What you doing in here? And then you just go, snakes. And they go, oh, okay, so it's not that other thing. And like, no, it ain't that other thing. It's snakes. And you go, okay, great, thanks, bye. And then you do your own stuff. So that's what you can get away with it. So Dwight Howard, man.
Is this from
snakes.
Experience, no Tony? Idea. I've never heard of this before.
No. Well, I...
Is this maybe
I
a lot of, is this why growers keep snakes around?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're trying not to get your electric bill noticed, because that's what happens, that's how you get caught, because everybody on your house has a certain electrical usage, and then your electrical usage is through the roof. And the authorities go, wait a minute, why is everybody on your block using this amount of energy? And then you're using like four times that amount of energy. I think we better take a look at that.
I just like keeping my AC on. What?
I like it like a refrigerator. Yeah. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I grew up in Northern Canada. Can't stand the heat.
Can't stand the heat. I am curious to if I'm a Washington Wizards fan, I am not psyched about this at all. No matter how much the Wizards are trotting Dwight Howard out as, you know, some sort of like he's press conference worthy, right? There are some signings that don't get press conference, you know, at all. You just go, well, we just signed him. You want to talk to him? Just let us know.
Perfect example. Jeremy Lin.
I couldn't
tell you what team he went on when he came onto the scene. It was Linsanity.
Linsanity.
And he couldn't go anywhere. He was the face of the Knicks. He was the face of basketball for a time being. And I couldn't even tell you what team he's on right now.
If I'm a betting guy, I think he's playing with the Atlanta Hawks. I think he just signed the Atlanta Hawks picked him up in a deal. But I'm not 100% sure.
We hear when Dwight Howard switches teams every single time.
And not only that, it's done with Dwight Howard. It's like, why? Why?
Snakes.
Snakes. I wonder how many people in the Wizards locker room, because that is a tight fraternity. I mean, people talk in that league all the time. I wonder how many people are like, oh, God. He's going to tell corny jokes. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, you want to know how bad his reputation was? He was giving pep talks to the team. And the Hawks as an organization hated that. He's just giving pep talks, but they couldn't stand it.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, how long has he been in the league for now?
Oh, since, what, 2002, 3?
So,
early part of 2000?
He's up there. He's been in the league for a while. Do you consider him a veteran?
Do I consider him a veteran?
Yeah.
Like
a veteran pro player in the league.
Yeah. Been around a long time. Yeah.
Well, no, but I see. But I'm talking about, like, okay, let me back it up. Do you consider him a veteran who could one of those teams like you bring this guy in because he's a veteran, he can you know rally the locker room like something like a Vince Carter?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Carter, right. If he came into the locker room, it's like, hey man, you know, let me tell you about this experience. Let me tell you about this playoff run. Let me tell you what I did here. And, you know, people are going to tune in and listen like, oh, you know, this is a good veteran presence. I'm glad that Vince Carter is on this team.
That's exactly right. No. In that definition, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And Dwight Howard.
He's going to wear out his welcome.
Yeah, Dwight Howard, you're like, oh, good. We get the circus.
Yeah, like when you're on the team playing, you're going to try to avoid him. He'll be like coming up to you. Hey, man, you want. No, God,
yeah,
no, Dwight.
Bring his snakes and tell fart jokes.
Exactly. When I was with Orlando, oh, let me guess. You did the thing with the thing with the. Yeah. Oh, you heard that one. Yeah, no, I heard that one. Thanks.
Do you think he's the type of guy who laughs at his jokes so much that he can't finish the punchline, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
He's that guy where he's telling a joke, starts laughing at it. You're kind of giggling because he's laughing so hard, and then he can't deliver the punchline, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, and then he thinks you're laughing with him instead of at him, and then he's falling apart. Yeah. Golly, what a career. And it had so much promise, too. He went to the finals. Remember he lost to the Lakers in like 2009? So much promise. It was just a different game then. He's just a dinosaur. He plays a game that nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to play the inside-out game in the NBA. It's a three-point shooting league. That's what it is. Nobody wants to play his style of basketball. And now the Wizards throw out a big press conference to bring him in, and I'm sure it's going over really well. Luckily, the Washington, D.C. area has a Stanley Cup to pass around. Otherwise, this would be blech. 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, yay. It means training camp has opened up and something's never, ever, ever changed. For the last, 18 years, Bill Belichick in New England has been the same sort of steadfast bastion of information, ready to break down everything, ready to tell you exactly how he feels. Oh, wait, not really. All right, so here's an exchange between Dan Shaughnessy and Bill Belichick. You got to hear it, because if you follow this league, and I know many of you do, you know Bill Belichick's sort of stoic answers to everything. But listen to how Dan Shaughnessy just sort of pokes at Coach Bill to try to get him to answer a question from last season.
Talked about that. That's multiple months ago.
Is there going to be any more explanation about why he didn't play?
Focused on training camp.
Would you do it any differently?
Training camp? Well, we're getting started. We're working on that right now. We'll do the best we can.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season. Not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
And for this season's team, is it important for you to address the Malcolm Butler thing with your team?
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that, do the best that I can for our football team. That's my job, and that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
All right, so that's Bill Belichick, who's been doing like that pretty much his whole career. It's just his style. But here's what people don't understand. Because I know Dan Shaughnessy is probably going to get a lot of flack from the fans because he pestered and kept asking and asking and asking, when the first answer to the question was, I'm not going to talk about the past, I'm going to talk about the team. What he's talking about is Malcolm Butler. He was talking about Shaughnessy introed his question by saying, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this, talking about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. So this is something Belichick doesn't want to talk about. He doesn't want to talk about with his team. He doesn't want to talk about anything. He just wants to move on and not address this in the media. Shaughnessy is going to get attacked for this because of the way he kind of badgered Bill Belichick. And it's going to be from fans who don't really understand how this works. So I'm going to try to enlighten people on how this does work. When you're a reporter, and I've seen this all the time, sometimes you are in a position, with everything getting videoed now and live streamed. It used to be these press conferences weren't televised and they weren't videoed. So you would just do it and nobody really knew what kind of question you asked. But with everything now online and everything being streamed and people can catch it live, reporters are getting a lot more scrutiny for the questions they're asking. And sometimes you ask dumb questions and sometimes you ask good questions. To me, a question isn't dumb. A question is just badly worded. The reason I never find dumb questions is because what Dan Shaughnessy is trying to get, okay, is an answer. It doesn't necessarily have to be the answer he's looking for. He needs to get an answer, because if he's writing a piece about this, he wants Belichick to say something about it. He doesn't want to assume Belichick would say something, and he certainly would never attribute a false quote to Belichick's something he didn't say. So sometimes you have to ask these things, even though you know the subject matter is not going to be addressed, to get the kind of response he got from Belichick. Would he have liked Belichick to have said, hey, Dan, here's the real reason why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl. Here's the real reason I didn't play him. And here's what I told my team. And oh, here's some more juicy stuff. Here's how the team reacted to that. And it wasn't pretty. And here's more details on that on the flight home. Shaughnessy's smart enough to know he wasn't going to get that from Belichick, that he wasn't going to get any of that stuff. So why the question over and over again? Because Shaughnessy has a story in mind. He's a columnist. He wants to write it in a particular way. Would he like the answer? Of course he would. Does he think he was going to get the answer? He absolutely didn't. But the reason he asks that is because he now has an official response from Belichick on the matter at the start of training camp. He's not going back and getting quotes from it after the Super Bowl. He's not going back and getting quotes for it at some off-season mini camp or whenever Belichick appeared in front of the media. It's the start of training camp. They're heading into the 2018 season. Shaughnessy probably has an idea that he wants to write his article in a way of, let's reflect back, because a couple of months ago we were at the Super Bowl and this was a big problem. How is this going to affect the team? But he wants the coach on the record saying something about it, even if it's a non-committal answer, even if it's an answer that doesn't go anywhere, because now he can put that in his story and leave it up to you. If you're going to read the story, leave it up to you to figure out what that means and what context it means. So when reporters, and I give them more benefit of the doubt, sure, I've been at a zillion press conferences. I've been in so many of them, and I've seen dumb questions. I've asked questions that appeared stupid too, right? But all of us are trying to get an answer, and we're trying to get that answer on tape, on the record, so then we can use it. So we don't do something like, well, I assume he was going to say this, so I didn't ask. Ask anyway and get him to say that. Nick Saban is not going to tell you right now in July or even early August who his starting quarterback is going to be. He wants fall camp to go all the way through. But if you're doing a story on Jalen Hurts, for example, if you're going to do a story, if you live in Alabama and you're doing a story on Jalen Hurts and you're talking about the disappointment of not being able to finish that national championship game, the stories and the rumors that he threatened to quit and transfer if he wasn't named the starter, if you're putting that all in a package, you need a quote from Nick Saban. Even if that quote is, I'm not going to talk about the quarterback controversy, I'm going to let it play out in fall ball. That's great. That's a quote. It doesn't add to your story in terms of the narrative, but it's at least a quote from authority. So the Malcolm Butler thing is still a sore issue for a lot of Patriot fans. It's a sore issue for a lot of Patriot media members who cover the team who never got an answer as to why a very important piece of their defense didn't play in that Super Bowl against the Eagles. And no answer really came back as to why. They never got a satisfactory answer as to why. Because Belichick, again, likes to play that game where it's none of your business. I don't have to answer to you. I've done so much here, I don't have to explain any of my decisions. And he might be right on that. So when Shaughnessy at the beginning of the press conference or the beginning of his question says, I wouldn't be doing my job, he's just laying the groundwork for, Bill, this is what I have to do. And you do what you have to do, and we'll then come to an agreement on what we'll do with that information. I'll write it exactly the way you say it, but I'm also going to write it exactly the way you say it, meaning I'm not going to give anybody anything. So in the piece, I'm going to make sure it's noted that you're still hiding behind this. And that's sort of the mutual understanding the two have. That is what goes on in these press conferences, because every single time you hear, that's a dumb question. I can't believe they asked that. Why did they ask that? The only explanation I can give you is it's just to get stuff on the record. Look, I was at a press conference with Vince McMahon to cover the XFL. I was coming to Vegas, and I was a young man, and I was going with this young lady who I worked with, and she was bold because Kurt Warner at the time was like the big superstar in the NFL, and his story of stockbroker. We actually talked to Kurt last week or 2 weeks ago. He was going from stock boy at a supermarket to starting playing in the NFL and getting to the Super Bowl, and winning the Super Bowl, and being the MVP, and all of that. And Vince McMahon was talking about his league, and one of the things he was talking about at the time, he was saying, hey, look, the guys we're looking for are in the mold of Kurt Warner, who come from nowhere and rise to greatness. And she stood up and she said, all right, well, I want to get back to that. She said, but Kurt Warner plays in the NFL, and the Super Bowl, the platform that he's playing on, is much larger than your platform. There were groans in the audience, but that was one of the best questions I had ever heard. Because she wasn't afraid to say, hey, here's the reality. Now you respond to that at reality. We're not here to celebrate your achievement. I'm here to get an answer to that question. That's what they do, and that's what Shaughnessy did there. But it's typical Belichick on how he rolls and how he does things. SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you'd be with us, SB Nation AM. Tony D alongside Ron Culver. You can catch us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, or Ron Culver is Ron at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. Oh, man. You know, I remember when I was back in the... I'm not trying to do a back in the day thing here, but... When I started working in radio in the mid-90s, we used to cut audio up with a razor blade and a piece of, like tape. So you would have a reel-to-reel. And if you were trying to cart something up for, like, a morning newscast, you would take an interview and you would put it on the big reel-to-reel. And then you would edit with it. You'd make a mark with a little crayon, a little wax crayon. And then you would make another mark. And then you would use a razor blade to cut the two pieces of tape that you were trying to get out. And then you would tape them together. And that's how you'd make your edits. And of course, today we're using digital and it's much faster. So I remember my boss one time, he said, the sports director of the station I was working at, he said, "Hey, the Patriots are playing the Cleveland Browns. And I need you to be on this conference call with Bill Belichick." And he said, "Dial in, and then I want you to tape it. And then if you want to ask some questions, you can. But just get Belichick, and I need three Belichick cuts for this Patriot special that we're doing tonight." I said, "Okay, great." So I dial into the conference call. I set my reel-to-reel. And I kid you not, Ron, what you heard from the Shaughnessy clip in the last segment was a lot smoother from Belichick than he was with the Cleveland Browns. Because I'm going to give you an example of Belichick when he was with the Browns on this press conference. So somebody on the phone would say, "Bill, what do you think of Drew Bledsoe and the Patriots? They do this pretty well. And when you guys do run your defense, what do you expect from them offensively?" "Well, Bledsoe's a good quarterback, and they're well coached. Pretty good team up there. I mean, they do some things right. But we think we do things right, too, so it should be a good game." Okay, so now I have to take that piece and I have to edit out all of those pauses to make it somewhat coherent for the morning. And that took me almost the whole afternoon. Because I had it recorded on cassette, so I had the master, and I would just butcher the cuts, the slices with the razor blades, because I'd be like, "Oh, I cut that too short. I didn't give a natural brush. I had to set it all over again." And it was only because he couldn't put sentences together. He just would do these pauses and just never want to say anything. It would drive me insane. And so what you got out of Shaughnessy was, I mean, at least coherent. At least he was flowing through, even if he doesn't give an answer. His act is good. I mean, it's surprising that his act lasts so long because he wins and he does so well. But if he was losing, if he was struggling, that wouldn't last 10 seconds in that area. In Boston, they would never want a coach that talks like that, that doesn't answer questions, doesn't do it. That they drove Rick Pitino out of town because the Celtics were terrible and he was so blah with the media. Belichick would have been gone, but he wins and he goes to Super Bowls and he's best coach in the NFL. So they just get nothing out of him. But at least they're getting something, I guess. I mean, he could have just walked away. I am so surprised I have not seen anything on that Malcolm Butler thing. I mean, no investigative report. Nothing. I mean, maybe there has been and I missed it, but I've been looking for it since the Super Bowl. I've never found it because he plays for the Tennessee Titans now. And even in Tennessee, nobody really knows why he got kept out of the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's the reason they lost to the Eagles, but it's certainly a factor. He's one of their better players. Played a lot of games and could have been very useful to them against the Eagles, and there's no answer for it. But that goes to show you, when you're winning, it's okay. When you're winning in baseball, any managerial you make is fine. You don't have to answer for it. You don't have to, you don't have to explain why you did something. Look at Theo Epstein, for example. He's won two World Series in two towns that desperately, desperately needed them. He can do whatever he wants. People can question it, but he doesn't have to answer for that.
See, I also have this feeling, though, I mean, because we do have some Patriot fans in the building, and they wholeheartedly believe that the Patriots would have won if Malcolm Butler had played.
I agree.
And I just get this feeling that it's an excuse. You can't give it up to the Eagles for playing a good game.
No, I understand where you're going with it because the Eagles played a really good game. I mean,
the Eagles didn't luck out in this.
I agree. They had a great defense, and they did the things you're supposed to do against the Patriots to win the game. I agree. Do I think Butler's addition to the Patriots roster makes that the Patriots better? Yeah. How much better? I don't know, but I don't think that's just something you throw out there. It's not excuse, yes, but it's a legitimate thing to say. He was an important part of their defense. Do they automatically win? I don't know. You're right. The Eagles played really well, and they played well enough to win. They weren't afraid of the Patriots. They took chances. That's the whole thing about the Eagles. After that game was done and everybody was processing it and everybody was analyzing it, the one takeaway was everybody in that Eagles organization wanted to win that game from the standpoint of we're not going to back off, right? We're going to keep pushing it. We're going to take chances. We're going to take risks. We're going to go for it on fourth down occasionally. We're going to throw the ball when we are expected to run. We're going to do things. We're not going to be afraid of the moment because if you remember, it looked like the Atlanta Falcons the year before were afraid to be leading that game. Remember, they were up 28-3, and they looked like they were afraid to be leading that game. They did crazy things, dumb things. They went drop back passes. They didn't manage the clock very well. They stupidly went into a shotgun, got sacked. I mean, there was 100 things they did wrong in that game and allowed the Patriots to come back. And I think the Eagles were saying, look, if we are leading in this game at any moment or we're playing well, we're not going to stop being who we are, even if it costs us. If going for it on fourth down occasionally costs us, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it. And I think that has to be brought into the equation, that this wasn't just the Patriots Super Bowl to lose, and if Malcolm Butler's not playing, they automatically win. I don't agree with that, but I do think it creates a different game if Butler's in there. And I think it would have gone the Patriots' way. But I you're right. I don't want to give the Eagles any discredit here. They played excellent football to win that game. They didn't luck into that. They didn't take advantage of all the mistakes the Patriots made. They played their game. And played hard and then took chances and won the Super Bowl, which relieved a lot of people. It's amazing. Isn't it incredible how that arc of the Patriots went from, well, look, they come out as a team in the Super Bowl against the Rams, and who's this young kid, and this is great, to we can't stand them, we never want them to win again. It's this incredible arc. Yeah, but that happens. We don't like dynasties, or we don't like teams that have too much success. Even though Tom Brady has had success. I mean, Tom Brady's got success in everything. It's like everything he touches turns to this magic. So every now and then when he's walking off the field and he can't celebrate, we're happy with him. Peyton Manning had that for a little bit, and then Peyton Manning became everybody's favorite. And I think a lot of it had to do with the ads and this sort of folksy nature. But Tom Brady has it in spades. So again, it goes back to what I was saying about Belichick before, is that he's going to give you these kind of answers, and that's okay because that's what he does. But if you're a Patriots fan, I think you got two choices here if you're a Patriots fan. One, and I remember I covered the team, but I covered him with Parcells, was very similar. Parcells would do the same thing. Except one time Parcells yelled at the guy next to me. He was from a Rhode Island newspaper. Remember I said there wasn't any dumb questions, but sometimes they're phrased differently. They're phrased dumb. This guy next to me, it was at a Monday night game. No, maybe it was one of the Monday night game. I remember it was against the Jets, and Pete Carroll was the coach of the Jets at the time. And I was standing right next to this guy who was from Hartford or Rhode Island. And he goes, hey, Bill, he goes, you guys played really well out there. You guys, every facet of the game seemed to be working. Do you think you outcoached Pete Carroll today? Which coaches don't ever say they outcoach another coach. It's a dumb thing. They're never going to say that. Well, Parcells ripped this guy. I mean, just destroyed this guy. He says, that's a dumb question, dumb bleep question, bleep, bleep, bleep. Did any of these writers outright you? How could you ask that kind of question? I was going to ask a question, but I kept my mouth shut because I was very, at that moment, I said, I'm not going down this road. He's already teed up. I'm not going to ask my stupid question. I'm going to let this be. Parcells had that intimidation factor. He really did. And he did it everywhere he went because he had that presence. Belichick does to an extent, but when you deal with Bill, it's better to do what Shaughnessy did, is just poke, 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 Let him either say what he wants to say and then use that in your work, or just, you know, just see if you can finally get him to crack and do something, and maybe go down that road and give up something that he normally doesn't give up. Because one other thing when you're a reporter is that you're trying also to get somebody to sort of like an avalanche to flow out, right? You hit that one nerve, and next thing you know, you're getting an avalanche of good stuff from them that you normally don't. Sometimes you get it with coaches. You ask them one question, and next thing you know, they're talking about the league. They're talking about officiating. They're talking about how they need to change this. Greg Popovich does this sometimes, but Popovich does it calculated. I mean, Popovich knows, I'm going to go down this road, but I'm purposely going down this road. Sometimes people go down it, and they just lose it, and their mouth just keeps rolling along, and they don't know what they're saying, and before you know it, they're getting fined. So, but when you have success, you can get away with stuff like that. You can get away with not starting Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl and not have to answer for it. Have fans just either be happy with that and that it was your decision, or not happy with it. But either way, you're not getting an answer from them. He's not going to give an answer for that. It's basically none of our business, apparently. But at least Shaughnessy was poking enough and going after him enough to say, hey, you know what? If you say something, I've got it. If you don't say something, I got it. But something from your mouth is what I need, because that's what I'm writing about this. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up next, I want to get into some news from camp that I think is going to open up one division in particular, and that's next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the training camps are starting to open up for NFL teams. Indianapolis is saying that, well, head coach Frank Reich, I should say, is saying that Andrew Luck should see action in his first preseason game. That's on August 9th against Seattle. That he will get playing time and looks like he's ready to go for the start of the season. Now, this is what I was talking about all morning. This sort of the difference between the way the NFL can present its product to you as a, you never know, any year can change, bear with us because things can change on a dime, rather than sometimes in baseball, teams will go through rebuilding processes for years. They'll get rid of star players. They'll get rid of some bad contracts. You may have to put up with lean years for a very, very long time. It was not that long ago that the AFC South was a really, really crappy division. I mean, it had two of the worst teams in the AFC, and the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They used to play each other on Thursday night because every team would have to get a primetime game. So they figured, why not kill two birds with one stone, stick them on some stupid Thursday night game nobody wanted to watch, so we can not have these two putrid football teams on the field at the same time, right? Or at least in two different weeks. So that was bad. Houston wasn't that good, and Indianapolis had Andrew Luck, and it was like, okay, that's the only bright spot of the division. Now look at it. I remember when I first moved to Nashville in 2011, my wife and I thought about getting Titans season tickets, and they weren't that expensive. And it seemed like a good thing to do with the kids and whatnot. And we actually thought, but you'd look at the games and there weren't really, we were just going to buy the tickets just to have football tickets. I mean, Jacksonville, Houston, right? The Colts, right? They would play a last place schedule. It was not good. Now, look at that division now. You've got possibly one of the most exciting teams in the NFL in the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson healthy, J.J. Watt, right? I mean, that team is watchable, fun. They were exciting last year when Watson played. You've got Andrew Luck back in the division. I know the Colts are going to need some help in other areas. We'll see how that goes. The Titans with Marcus Mariota have gotten better every single year, made the playoffs, beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and Jacksonville was a few minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. And all of those draft picks, year after year after year, picking in the top five, are starting to pay off. It's one of the most exciting divisions in football. Now, it's not going to be the NFC East, where it's a bloodbath every week when they play each other. It's, you know, deep rivalries. You could just draw two teams out of a hat, and it's a rivalry. It may not be Baltimore, Pittsburgh. There's really no two teams in that division that hate each other like that. So you're not going to get a hated rivalry within that division. But as far as quarterbacks, as far as teams on the rise, as far as fun, exciting teams to watch, the AFC South has got it. I'm telling you, that Texans team, I loved watching the Texans last year when they had Watson. It was sad when he got hurt. It's always disappointing when J.J. Watt doesn't play. So all, you know, injuries aside, because we always have to preface that, this could be a really fun year for this division. When just a few years ago, it was a terrible, atrocious division that somebody had to win. And that's what the NFL does really well. You don't have to give it a lot of time. You don't have to give it half of your youth before your team turns it around with the right prospects and the right spending. NFL teams are supposed to be able to turn their seasons around quickly. They give you draft picks, salary caps in place to keep spending on an even keel. You're supposed to evaluate talent. You're supposed to manage your money. If you can't do either one of those, find somebody who does. Because this long, drawn out, we're terrible, why are we terrible, we don't know why we're terrible, nothing seems to work, woe is me, doesn't fit and doesn't fly. And you can't get away with it in this league. It's why coaches change all the time. The tools are there. Evaluate it correctly. Use the money correctly. And you'll be good. All right, 800-777-2907. You want to get into the conversation? We'll also be talking more about the NFL because, again, training camps are opening up coming up in the next hour. I am Tony D. It's Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.